Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Debate Show. Hope you're all doing well. Stee here with Jay and with Louis to talk about three very, very, very juicy topics, all relating around Liverpool, all about different competition, different meanings and all things in between. So, gents, thanks for joining us. I'm going to kick off straight away. I'm going to go first out of the blocks with my question. As it stands, we know Liverpool's Champions League fate will be decided on Friday in terms of the quarter-final draw. So topic number one, Jay, I'll come to you first with this one. Rank from one to three the order of these teams that you most want us to get in the draw to least want us to get in the draw on Friday. Real Madrid, currently top of La Liga. Manchester City, currently top of the Premier League. And Bayern Munich, currently top of the Bundesliga. The seven teams we can draw, there's three of them right there, three of Europe's best elite teams along with ourselves. So what's your initial thought straight away? Is it one that you just don't want, like you can just knock on the head?
Yeah, City last. And that's not because I'm so frightened of them. I mean, you know, they're such a great team anyway. They can beat anybody on the day and surely they can beat us, of course. But the timing of this is why City are bottom of the list, because I don't want to play them either side of a big fixture.
Against them again?
Yes. So for that reason alone, the bottom. Any other time, give me them, because I think over two legs, as we've proved in the past, we can do them. Just not that week, because the law of averages says you are not going to beat City three times in a row. That's just what it says. We're perfectly capable of doing that, but with then two games at the Etihad, that's my worry. And I don't want to lose either of those games at the Etihad in the space of a few days. So let's just put that to bed. So no City. So my first choice was Real. Basically, based on, yes, they had a fantastic performance over two legs against Paris. However, I still think they are very beatable from this Liverpool side. Forget what happened last season when we played them. The circumstances are completely different. But buying a scoring for fun. And that's the only reason why I'm picking Real as my first choice. I still think over two legs we can do them.
Yeah, like, again, Louis, it's one of those, isn't it? There'll be all these teams looking there thinking they don't want Liverpool as well. I bet if you ask a Manchester City fan, they're thinking we don't want Liverpool three times in a row either. The flip side of that is if you're actually looking form-wise of those three teams, it's actually City who are in the worst form, especially in terms of obviously in the league. So of their last five, they've lost one, obviously, and then they drew the other night, as we all know. You look at Bayern Munich, they're in iffy form, to be fair. They've had a couple of draws on the run as well, so maybe they're in that mix. But then, in the Champions League, they went and snotted someone like 7-0 or something. And then it's actually Real Madrid who are in the best form. Four consecutive league games, the win against Paris as well. So it's actually City and Bayern who are in the patchiest form. But like I say, come April when these games are played, that's a long, long way away. So there's loads to consider here. What's going through your head?
I'm agreeing with you guys and kind of thinking about that City point of view. Listen, it would be quite cool if we got them in the Champions League and then in the FA Cup and we literally had to play them four games consecutively. I mean, it'd be awful.
Just knock me out, put me in a coma and wake me up when it's done.
it would probably be the four, like, highest quality consecutive games you could have. And it would be, I'd hate it, because realistically, you'd probably have a win each and two draws, realistically. So just based on the law of averages, based on the fact that we are two very good teams where there's not much in it. So I'm going to rule City out, although any other time, like you guys said, European night, I back us. I mean, I back us to beat anyone, which is the thing. I would go for Bayern Munich, though. I think they can be got at. I do think they can be got at. They're scoring for fun right now, but no one's, they're not playing anyone with a defence as good as ours, with a midfield as good as ours. They're not being challenged that way in the league. Realistically, the closest competition, Dortmund, who aren't great. It's very much kind of who they're playing. They look great, but I think they can be got at elsewhere. Real Madrid, I don't know. I think, again, similar to us, it's that European night. Anything can happen. Their midfield's still great. Modric, I mean, against PSG, he showed that he might be getting on a bit, but he's still a top, top, top midfielder. So I'd probably say, if I were to rank them, it'd be City the least, based purely on the fact that we've got that game. If not, I'd put them second, Real Madrid second, and Bayern Munich. Yeah, give me Bayern Munich. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're looking at the form, I say at the weekend, they backed up the 7-1 win over Salzburg with an away draw at Hoffenheim. Like, you know, you mentioned about the league table, like Dortmund are closing in on them. It's a 7-point gap at time recording, but Dortmund do have a game in hand, so very much could become 4 points. Like I say, they've won two of the last five league games. We'll go back to them, a couple of those results. They drew with Leverkusen not so long ago. They only beat Frankfurt 1-0, not that far removed off a shock 4-2 result against one of the smallest teams in the Bundesliga, against Bochum. So
yeah.
I'm with you, and also I'll come to you, Jay. I fear teams who we haven't beaten for a long time. And as much as it pains me to say, Real Madrid have got the wood on us.
Yeah, yeah, for absolutely.
They've knocked us out when we played them, obviously last year. I get the circumstances, but they still did.
Still did, yeah.
The final was there before that as well. It was like another one. And
group stage.
It's been a long old time since we got the wood over Real Madrid. They're a fantastic club, and for whoever they trot out, there just seems to be certain clubs who've got your number. I think it's five times we've played them now without a win. So that does worry me. I think history does count. And again, it's a different Liverpool team, and I get it, and it's a different Real Madrid team, but then also it's kind of not. There's still you reference some of the players, they're still there. Benzema's still there, amazing. Smashing. Modric's still playing well, they've still got them. That plays into it for me. And I'm with you on the City stuff as well. Playing City three times, potentially four times in a matter of 2 weeks. What that could do, that's almost like a boxer going 12 rounds and then you've got to go and fight again a few weeks later. Not only will it impact there, imagine walking out of that four times, having City in 2 weeks, the squad could be knackered.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they are so intense games. There's a lot to consider. So I'm edging towards City last, but I'll be honest, Madrid...
Frightened
you? No, not frightened me. Listen, bring them on. Bring anyone on and we'll have a go at you and we'll give it a go. And we won't be playing in an empty training ground. We'll be coming to your ground and you're coming to a farm field.
Yeah, true.
That does play a difference. But the Madrid thing does hang over me a little bit. Does it bother you at all, that kind of stuff?
It does, mate. It does come into it. I just always think like things change. Summer has to give at some point. And I look at that second leg at Anfield. On a different day with the finishing, we'd have been 3 or 4 up. And it wouldn't have even mattered.
With a bad team.
Exactly.
Well, I say bad team, it was
bad circumstance overall. Yeah. So that is in the forefront of my mind, thinking, yes, the away leg at the training ground was awful. We know that. I don't think that happens again. I think all the players will remember that. I think Klopp will remember that. He'll drive that into them. But that second leg at Anfield, like I said, we could have been 3 or 4 up at half-time. And on a different Liverpool squad with a different mentality, because we were so deflated after what happened last year. It was just heartbreaking. That won't happen this year. And we're in a very, very good run of form. So I just think that will play into it a little bit. It does for me. It makes me feel better as a fan sitting on the couch anyway.
No, absolutely.
That first leg, second leg.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Yeah, hopefully fingers crossed it go to Anfield. I'll, before we move on, guys, I'll just go to a quick few chats from the Club Legend Discord. Rushi just said Real Madrid first, Bayern then City. It's not even really a debate. I mean, you're kind of ruining the show there, Rushi, so we'll bypass your one there.
He's agreed with me there.
There is a debate, otherwise it wouldn't be on the debate show. We're literally having the debate, so I appreciate you pissing on my parade there, my
man. We've given different answers, so shows there is a bit of debate.
Scott's exactly the same as he's gone. Madrid, Bayern, City, because I feel like we should avoid playing City as much as possible prior to the league game. No need to make them more aware of us. Christopher went for the exact same, Bayern, Madrid, City. So maybe Rushi's right. Maybe there's not a debate. Although, if you get further down, a few people did change theirs. I think I saw Chris's before. He went Bayern, then City, then Madrid. Again, he wants to avoid Madrid. I think Chris is very much in the... And also, like he says, Bayern and City are in worse form.
No one said Madrid. City first, did they? So
I don't think anyone's saying bring City on. I'm just looking through it now, Scott. Yeah, Matty was the same. Madrid, City, then Bayern. He wants Bayern last because they're very dangerous. But yeah, mate. Yeah.
I'll tell you who would say City first, and that would be BT and Sky, because they would have an absolute Field.
BT Sport, yeah, BT Sport would love it.
They'd
to
love
be
it.
Yeah, they'd
yeah,
be they'd
the
be,
FA Cup games as well.
They'd be absolutely
yeah.
made up. Yeah, listen,
they do it as kind of like a four header. You can just imagine the idea.
Louis's right. It'll get so Americanized, wouldn't it? Like with the NFL playoffs or the Stanley Cup playoffs, they'd just be like
game
the best.
One
yeah,
of four.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It would be quite the spectacle if it happens.
It would.
And there's every chance it does happen,
it's
by
the way.
It's
very unique considering like the trophies that Liverpool are going for. It's like, oh, if anybody can put a stop to the quadruple, it's going to be City and blah. And I just think, I can't even handle that. I don't even want to entertain it. If it's going to happen, like I said before, knock me out and just wake me up when it's all over.
You know, when we're looking at form, Louis, like obviously a lot can change. Like the draw's on Friday and then the first leg's what? It's early April, isn't it? So there's quite a long way away from it. But does that impact things at all? I feel like, I mean, Bayern Munich, they could win the next day on the spin. You know, City could lose another one. Who knows? Burnley might do them next week or something. Like, it's not beyond the realms of possibility. So when you're looking, when the draws happen quite in advance of things as well, it's hard to really perform into big perspective because, like I say, listen, we're recording this tonight. Who knows how Liverpool get on against Arsenal? Yeah. Who knows how they get on against Forest? Like, form is so, so fickle at times. Form is temporary, class of payment, that kind of stuff. It's hard really to know how much weight you put behind form, isn't it?
You say that, but with the international break, there's not that many league games.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Like,
yes.
I mean, there's one league game between now and, but so excluding Arsenal, there's one league game between now and that first leg being played. And for cities, that's Burnley. That's all they've got. So it does change it in the sense that a lot can happen in terms of, I mean, touch wood, no injuries, but a lot can happen in terms of injuries. I think Thiago is going to be key for this period. Something, God forbid, but could happen to him. Or alternatively, City could have Diaz come back and be fit. But I don't think it changes much in terms of, for example, a team picking up wins just because there isn't that time for them to do that. The form will pretty much stay the same. But I do understand what you mean. It's kind of hard to visualize it. Because it is quite a way away, it's kind of you're looking at what just under a month. But no, it will come around quicker than it is because there's just not that game's been played.
With this all being said, then Jay, and I think it's great, obviously, listen, they're three of the seven. We know the other two at the moment are obviously there's games to be played that time recording. We don't know Villarreal versus Juventus is on a tightrope. Chelsea are the favourites to get through. They're obviously 2-0 up as well. Benfica went through last night, yeah. And Atletico Madrid obviously went through tonight, last night as well. All the best to them. Well done for them. If Chelsea got, I didn't want to put it in the show because if something mad happens, I didn't want to debate the show and ruin the show. But if Chelsea were in this mix, I'd rather play City than Chelsea at the moment. I know that sounds crazy, but I just think, again, look how we played against every game against Chelsea this season. It's been so tight. And we have played them a lot already. We've played them three times, adding another two onto it as well. And they've all been draws. I think, and there's a lot going on at Chelsea, and I understand it. Yeah. There's tons and tons and tons happening there. But that's the thing with City. If you play City, at least you know you're going to get a game. You're going to get, and all these three teams are the exact same. They're going to come at you. They're going to go for you, and they're going to play their game. Chelsea very much don't. Yeah. Chelsea, they try and shut us down and hurt us. It feels like, that makes sense. Like, at least if you do draw any of these three, you know you're just going to go toe-to-toe, man-to-man, and go, who the best man wins?
I know what you mean.
No, they're not going to try and do you with tactics, really, or they're not going to try and worry too much about shutting you down. They're going to try and hurt you. I always feel Chelsea's the other way around.
No, it's right, mate. I mean, you know, watching the game at Wembley, you thought that this it could go either way. You know what I mean?
But their game plan was to stop us.
And they did. Yeah. You know, most of our forwards, bar Diaz, a relatively quiet game. You know, so it was, I think, you know, Quadbod said it in the Discord as well, hasn't he? He'd love to get City over Chelsea. I think in that scenario, then yes, I'm going to agree with you because Chelsea worry me more than City do at the minute.
Louis, let's go.
To say that,
it's crazy because, listen, there's an elite team, as we know this, and this is what happens when you get to the Champions League quarterfinals. The ideal is, I mean, if we all could pick right now, I think we'd bite your hand off of Benfica and probably Atletico Madrid, probably the winner of Villarreal versus Juventus. Yeah. You'd fancy Liverpool to be big favourites in all of those. I understand, obviously.
Just Dark Arts team just worry me.
Yeah, they do, but
last
like
night was just awful from Atletico, albeit, yeah, it was against United.
We've beaten them twice this season,
exactly,
and we were better than them. Yeah, it's one of those, Louis. Going back to Bayern Munich then, like, they are brilliant, and we know that. And listen, Lewandowski, and they've got absolute star players. But like I say, I watched them. I saw the highlights of the game against Hoffenheim at the weekend, and it was a very good team they put out. Listen, it's Hernandez, it's Sule, it's Pavard, it's Kimmich, it's Coman, it's Sané, it's Müller, it's Gnabry, it's Lewandowski, it's Neuer. You know, they're an amazing side, and they did get held. And going back to what we did to them a few years ago when we went to their ground and wiped the floor with them as well. We talked before about getting revenge against Real Madrid. Would you think Bayern Munich would be in the same boat? Do you think they'd be thinking, you know, I'd quite like to get Liverpool? Or do you think it'd be like, no, we don't want none of that?
I don't think anyone in the world wants Liverpool.
No one's number one on this list, are
no,
they?
No, absolutely, yeah.
I genuinely think we're the most informed team in the competition.
Yep.
We've got a full squad right now. Again, touch wood. I don't think any team in the world wants to play us right now. I think we'd be bottom of every team's list.
I tend to agree.
I agree. Just going back to what you're saying about Chelsea, I again agree. I'd rather City than Chelsea. I think over a European tie, we can have City. I just think Chelsea will make it more difficult. And that is the one where the situation could very much change with them if they're on a bounce of getting a big new Saudi owner. If that gets confirmed the week before, things will be high. The crowd will be loving it. You will kind of, that will be the one where things could change if kind of that is a massive shift in morale. So that is the one where I probably want to avoid now because obviously you don't know what's going to happen then. But alternatively, things could be lower. They could be getting sanctioned even more. Who knows? Yeah. In terms of that Bayern team, listen, they're a great team. They've got some great players who can do some damage. But looking at that team, there's no way they can line up with that team against us. There is no way that formation, that what it looks like, a reverse 4-2-3-1 with kind of five attackers basically.
It was, yeah, it was mad.
There is absolutely no chance they line up with that team playing Liverpool. They would be ruined. And I think they know that.
Nagelsmann, he's got this about him at times, hasn't he? He's got this, I don't know, the nutty prefers. Like, he's done well in buying a favour to win the league. They're doing well in Europe as well. But yeah, I always feel like I've seen Klopp, I'd fancy Klopp in the battle of the managers there. Like, yeah. Him and Pep have gone toe-to-toe a lot. Carlo Ancelotti gone toe-to-toe quite a lot. You know, and Carlo's had success against those. There's no denying that as well. I feel like in a battle of the wits of the managers, Nagelsmann versus Klopp is one that, Jäger's a heavy, heavy favourite in that encounter, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%, mate. And again, it's just that these amazing coaches that are going head-to-head, and you want to see those types of... Because Klopp wants to be tested, of course he does. You know, Klopp knows he's a very good manager, but he also wants to be tested to make his team better, which is why, the Real Madrid situation, you look at that, and again, he tested himself against that squad last year. It's a new format now for him. So, yeah, I mean, the Bayern game is... I'd be so excited by the Bayern game. I really would.
So we need to... Let's move on then. We're going to need our answers first then. So, Jay, do you want to go?
Real, Bayern, City.
So you want Madrid?
Yes.
Louis?
Bayern.
Real, City.
Yeah. Bayern, Real, City.
Yeah, so there you go, Rushi, you're wrong, because there's a debate, there's two different answers. I go
Bayern,
and with
Bayern, Real, City.
Yeah, I'm the same. If it wasn't for that City game being where it is, it would be flipped. Yeah. It's just, I don't want to play them three times in a week. It's going to ruin us.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's getting, that's just going to knock you out. Them games are so intense. So if it was the way around, Madrid would be last. I worry about Madrid. And I always worry about like bad juju and stuff and teams who've got your number
Fair enough.
But yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm with Louis, Bayern, and then Madrid, and then City. Right then, moving away from the Champions League and more towards transfers of days gone by, I'm going to hand over to Jay Pearson for topic number two.
So topic number two was, which Liverpool signing surprised you the most in terms of how good they went on to perform? So Mr. Stehor.
There's loads, to be honest. And if we're talking current team, we're talking ever. There's tons and tons. Yep. Looking at the current team now, Joel Matip, I would never have expected Joel Matip was going to turn into one of the best centre-halves in world football, which he definitely is. Andy Robertson's massive in this one for me. I thought we were signing Alberto Moreno's backup.
Yeah.
And we went and signed the best left-back in Europe, or one of. Mohamed Salah, I thought we were signing Sadio Mane's backup.
Yeah.
And we've signed the best footballer on the planet. I expect the Virgil to be great. You could never expect him to be the best. Well, in fact, you probably could, but not like the levels he set. Mm. You knew you were getting a top goalie with Alisson. So, yeah, of the current side, it's Matip, Salah, and Robertson just spring to mind straight away because they've just gone to, again, three of the best players in their positions, and I never thought either of those three were going to get one. What was your thinking?
Yeah, mate, I was along the same lines with that. I mean, the Salah situation is 100% the one of this current side because, again, you look at the fee, you look at the history of the player in the Premier League, you look at what he was doing at Roma and Fiorentina, and there was that little bit of buzz about him. It was always the quote-unquote Premier League reject, Chelsea reject. Oh, he's come back to make a statement, he's just going to flop again. You go back on the BBC Sport forums when he was signed and it's just the comments are hilarious, which is great because in hindsight it's a wonderful thing. So, yeah, for me, Salah was definitely in that as well. I think James Milner was one for me as well of this current side. And that is not to say I didn't know how good James Milner was. He's a fantastic footballer, don't get me wrong. But at the time of where Liverpool were and the players that we were signing, I thought he was a great signing, but I thought he'd be great for a couple of years and then we'd build a sort of above him.
Yeah.
It's a testament to how good that man is, to how he's still in this squad and still around and he needs to be there, which harks me back to players that I thought of back in the day. Gary McAllister. When we signed in that the summer of 2000, again, eyebrow raising going, why? And then obviously Phil Thompson said the exact same thing, didn't he? He said in the documentary that we did for the League Cup final recently, it was like, why are we signing? You need those types of players in your squad. Turns out he was fantastic. Craig Bellamy is exactly the same. Not the first time.
The second one.
The second time we signed him in 11-12 because that was again at the same ilk as he had unfinished business at Liverpool. He comes in, absolutely becomes arguably the most important player in our squad alongside Steven Gerrard and just sort of had this aura about him. I just think he was really excited and that really surprised me. That was really good. But again, you talk about Salah and stuff. Yeah, it is. It's just amazing for what he's done.
I throw Sammy Appiah into this, some guy we never know. And yeah. It turns out to be an amazing centre-half. Daniel Sturridge was a Chelsea reject. Goals for fun. Luis Suarez. I don't think anyone expected Luis Suarez to become fucking Luis Suarez, who he was.
Alonso. Alonso, I was like, signing this midfielder from Sociedad, I'm like, okay, yeah, don't really know too much about him. And we wouldn't have won anything without him.
Chris says in the chat as well, good on Alisson, to be fair, the last time I saw him, he was getting more bios in the Champions League. And yeah, he was like seven goals in or something over two legs. Louis, there's so many answers to this one. Is there anyone we haven't mentioned that you'd like to bring up or are you going along with what? I've got a couple more by the way I'm going to come to, but is there anyone we haven't mentioned just yet for you?
Yeah, a couple. Chamberlain's one.
Okay.
Where that first season, he was playing out of his skin in that midfield role. Obviously, injuries hampered him, but when we signed him, I didn't expect him to kind of be probably one of the first names on the team sheet in that midfield for the first season.
Yeah.
I mean, Salah, it's the easy one where he was good, but no one expected him to turn into the best player in the world, particularly kind of 5 years on.
Yeah.
Andy Robertson as well. Listen, there are loads of people. That is Liverpool's ethos, where apart from Alisson and Van Dijk, maybe also Fabinho, we didn't sign anyone that has kind of was already the best in their position or one of the best.
Fabinho was a great job, by the way. Fabinho was a great job for this. I didn't know he was this good. I knew he was good, but I didn't know he was this good.
I loved him. I always loved Fabinho. I mean, it came out of nowhere, the transfer.
Yeah,
you kind of
a surprise.
But I mean, there's loads of people that have surprised me. Even kind of looking at Gini Wijnaldum. I know he's left now.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Great shout.
But we signed him as effectively what? He was a winger or like an attacking player. And we turned him to kind of like a defensive eight that kind of kept Liverpool ticking. So he was someone. But that's kind of why I like Liverpool, because we don't go and sign your Mbappes or your Haalands. We go and sign the level below and bring them to the level up. But yeah, for me, I mean, you probably can't look past Salah in terms of what he's done and where he's become. I think we'd all be kind of saying we hoped it, but no one thought he would turn into the player that he has.
Yeah, Matty mentioned in the Discord mentions Mane for the exact same reason. We knew he was good, didn't know he was going to be this good. The Shrike, is it? Yeah, he says Torres hit the ground running. He was the perfect number nine. Maybe didn't expect that as well. Quad body and Rush was just a skinny Welsh kid. And we were all like, who? When he came in, he went on to be the best finisher Liverpool have ever had.
Yeah.
Quad body again of the current squad. Bobby was a bit of an unknown. I'm not sure people quite realise how quite he is even now. You know who hasn't been mentioned yet, and I'm quite surprised, If I told you that after Steven Gerrard, the next man to lift the European Cup for Liverpool was going to be the skinny little kid we signed from Sunderland 10 years ago, 11 years ago, he's also going to go and captain you to the first Premier League title you've ever won. He's also going to lift the League Cup again. He's also going to lift the Super Cup again. Nobody could have expected this from Jordan Henderson. Jordan Henderson will go down as an icon of Liverpool Football Club from the day he retires. For he is now, like, he's a legendary figure of Liverpool. That's just he just is. That's undebatable now. And the kid who was getting flogged right wing when we signed him from Sunderland 10 years ago, listen, again, we've done the documentary, Hendo 10 years ahead. We're coming up to 11 years now, aren't we, pretty much? And no one, that is a huge shock for me. I wouldn't have even envisioned him getting the captain's armband off Steven Gerrard. I thought that's mad. By the time he got it, he was the obvious choice, and it was only 4 or 5 years later. I think Henderson's got to be in this mix because he has to be. 100%. Even now, he's in Liverpool's best 11. Jürgen keeps picking him. He's the captain of the club.
I think
he's amazing on and off the field as well. You have to put Henderson in this mix.
I think because we signed him 10 years ago, which is not someone we think about.
Yeah.
And I guess if we had to put, he's been, again, no one expected him to be where he is. He's a quality player, even better captain for Liverpool. Yeah, for sure. He'd be right up there when you're talking about the best signings of Liverpool and ones that surprise us the most.
It's a great conversation to have this because we've had so many players that have surprised us. You know, there's very little there we have the disappointment. I know I mentioned this to you yesterday about, you know, disappointing signings. You know, these players that, you know, what Liam Bentel just put in, Liverpool doesn't buy superstars, we birth them. It's a really, really good comment, that, because there's been plenty of times where you've signed a player that and they've been Liverpool sort of stepping stone to greatness, a la Suarez. You know, you just had him at the wrong time, even though we had him pretty much at the pre-peak Suarez. But I think, like, when you look at disappointing signings, like Harry Kewell for me was one where I was like really excited to get him. And he just disappointed me.
Yeah, and then
Morientes, goal scoring royalty, and it just didn't work out. I was so excited for Robbie Keane because I loved the way he played footy. I thought from a striker's perspective, that's exactly what we needed, and it never worked out. And it was gutted for him.
But they're very few and far between.
That's on the balance of what we're talking about. You know what I mean? It's great where we're having so many more great conversations rather than the negative ones. I think that's the testament to the club.
Yeah, you're absolutely
The one you'd probably have negative wise now would potentially be Naby Keita.
We're not getting the player we saw. We're not getting the Leipzig Naby. And again, it's a bit Gini Wijnaldum. Yeah.
You say that though. We are. When he plays, we are.
Yeah, yeah.
But he just doesn't play enough because he's not fit. So yeah. When we signed him, I think it was everyone was talking about this Kante like player, energy, but could also had the output. And we're not getting that. You're right. So here's the one where if someone asked me, okay, you have to look at a Liverpool signing currently. That he's probably one of the only ones that hasn't worked,
and he has worked. Yeah, he's been fine. We all thought we might even get him one of the best midfielders in the world. And listen, Liverpool win a lot of games when Naby Keita plays.
That's fact.
The return's great. It's just the
consistency. You know, we always said the best ability is availability, isn't it? And Wijnaldum was great for that. But I still think Naby Keita's got something to say in his Liverpool career, 100%. And I'm looking forward to seeing what moment that is.
I want to delve more into the Andy Robertson one, and I'll come to you. I remember, right, when we beat Middlesbrough, wasn't it, on the last day of the season to get Champions League footy, we did a Red Men live show, and I told the story a few times, so apologies for those, I know some of you guys are new, but we were on a live show, and I said, like, what that hopefully means is you can go and sign some better players, and you don't have to go and sign Andy Robertson from Hull. They were exact words that come out of my mouth, and I was thinking, we were in mix, there was all kinds of left-backs getting in. Ben Chilwell was in this competition.
I think he was, but
I maybe getting my ears mixed up, but there was a few players there, and how wrong was I? Because he is the best left-back I've seen at Liverpool, and it's not even that close, to be honest. Yeah. We struggled there for so long, like, I can't go back eras and eras, but the Liverpool teams I've seen since the 90s, he's head and shoulders above all of them. He is one of the best left-backs on the planet. He's captain of his country. There's everything about him. I think I will defy anyone to say now you knew Andy Robertson was going to be this. You might have thought he'd be good and you trusted Liverpool's recruitment, and I get that, but I can't think there's anyone on the planet who thought Liverpool are going to turn the lad from Hull, who's only been professional for X amount of years and was, you know, part-time into Europe's greatest left-back, or one of them, that he has to be right at the top of this list, or very, very close to it.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And you look at, like, £8 million, but then we sent Kevin Stewart to Hull for £8 million, was essentially free, which is just brilliant. It makes it even more sweeter.
Yeah,
I agree with you, mate. I mean, again, I've kept a lot of the threads from the stuff from when Andy Robbo signed, and, you know, the tweets and the retweets. It's like, look at Liverpool buying rejects from Hull and blah, 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 and you think, yeah, but it's lovely to look back at stuff like that. And you are right, mate. I'll find there's very few people, unless you're a Hull supporter, you know, you know him in and out and know what he's capable of and know that moving to Liverpool was the next step for him. Yeah, there's no one who would expect him to hit the ground run as much as he has done. Took him a good couple of weeks to get in there.
6 months, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a Moreno injury that came to that. But my God, once you had that place nailed down, it was brilliant. I mean, obviously we were there at his debut, wasn't it? And it was, oh my God, you just knew we had a player. But I think it was cemented, wasn't it, with his little swallowing a Mario Brothers star and going on that run in City, wasn't it? We just chased everybody. It was just that for me. I was like, right, that is a workhorse. And we've never won a league without a Scottish player. So there you go.
I think he's definitely right up to this list. I mentioned him very, very early on, Louis, but let's go back to Joel Matip then, because when we signed a lad from Schalke on a free, I remember doing this at the time. Again, we were looking on like Transfermarkt. It was like, well, he can play a bit of DM. He's played a bit of DM for Schalke. He scored a few goals. Like, you know, he's all right. He looks fine. He's a good little free option. Fast forward again, a few years down the line, he's winning Champions League finals. He's player of the month in the Premier League at time of this recording as well. Again, the emergence of Joel Matip from who's he to, oh my God, how good's Joel Matip, has been quite a shock, hasn't it?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yes, but yeah, I mean, yeah, there's nothing else you can say. Yeah, has been. He's been one of the best for me this season. He's been our best centre half. I mean, it's always easy to say that when you're next to Van Dijk. I think, listen, I'm a 5 foot something, 21 year old, chubby lad. I think I could look good next to Van Dijk. But he's incredible. His passing, his distribution, those runs he goes on, it just offers something different that realistically Rudiger kind of does it, but does it in such an annoying way that I don't even want to give him credit. He just offers that different dimension where he can create, he can do anything from attack. So yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. That DM shout, listen, I think he'd be shocking there for Liverpool. I don't think he's got the legs for it. But listen, it's been great to see him, and it's great to see just how beloved of a member of the team he is. Because when he scored that goal and everyone's coming up to him, it's nice to see. But yeah, him and Robbo, really, when you look at our back four, and it's like, okay, what do they cost? And it's like, okay, they cost a combined, what, 83 million.
And most, that's all Virgil.
It's all Virgil. Like, I mean, we could, if you put Joe Gomez in there, he was what, a million and a bit? So what, you could have a back four of Gomez, Robertson, Trent and Matip, and that's cost under 10 million.
And it's
that's one of the best, Champions League, Premier League winners. That's one of the best back fours in the world. So yeah, listen, what Liverpool have done, I think it we will always get kind of people would rivals will take the mic, but it is seriously impressive what we have made out of nothing.
Quadbod says this in the Discord again. Michael Edwards, does Michael Edwards deserve a shout for this? Because no one matched him in terms of contributions to the current squad. And I agree. Like, it isn't just Michael Edwards. I think he'd be the first to mention this as well. It is a big team of Liverpool's recruitment team is state of the art. Like, they spend a lot of money up behind the scenes on it. And Julian Ward's the next one. He's heavily involved in this as well, and he's about to take over. But I think what the general point is, I wonder how surprised Michael Edwards is when he sees Andy Robertson. Do you think he predicted that? Like, Jürgen, we're going to get, he's brilliant, or Joe Matip, or I don't know, Mo Salah. By all accounts, it was the stats guys telling him, go and get Mo Salah. Like, there was Draxler talk, and there was a few other ones. What's the lad's name? Dortmund, not Royce, was it?
That's my friend, make me laugh all the time.
It was a little guy, what's his name? I forgot.
Anyway,
there was a few. Goethe, yeah. There's all these lads.
Yeah.
Oh no, we're just going to go. So yeah, they do deserve credit, but like I say, I wonder if you ask them this question, who do you think has surprised Michael Edwards the most? That'd be an interesting answer.
It would, and I think the people who identify these players as well, like you said, you know, it's a massive team. You know, I don't think Klopp just sits there all day and tries to identify players. He's not got the time for that. That's why he's got a team to do that, and I just think it's a testament to that team. And yeah, Michael Edwards does deserve a lot of praise for this, but he'd definitely probably say, yeah, I'm surprised Andy Robbo's still here, maybe because he obviously the fee and all that type of stuff, so which is great. Love it.
It's a testament as well, Louis, isn't it? It goes back to Jürgen Klopp, and he's turned these lads, and him and his coaching staff have turned these lads and developed a system and an ethos and a team and a club. Backed by the owners, and it's fair to say, you know, new training ground, new facilities, no expense spared, which allows you to bring players in and turn them from, I don't know, rejects of other clubs or young promising lads at relegated clubs and turn them into an elite team. Again, so much credit has to go to Jürgen, the owners, everyone involved with Liverpool, because we are like the shining example of how to get transfers 99% right.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I will say as well, you mentioned Jürgen there, but a transfer that happened before him that Michael Edwards, I think, will say surprised him most is Firmino.
Yeah, well, he had to bargain by all accounts to get Firmino in with Rodgers. He was like, you can have Benteke, but we're getting you Bobby Firmino as well. And Rodgers was playing Firmino right wing, and I was thinking, what have we signed here? He can't run. He couldn't, like, in terms, not run as in get about, as in he had no pace. Mm. And we had the slowest front three in the world with Coutinho, Benteke and Firmino. I was like, what the fuck's this? So yeah, I wonder, it feels like he's done well there to get that negotiation in there.
Well, Michael Edwards said, I think he said this when kind of it was announced he'd be leaving Liverpool. Someone asked him, who's your favourite transfer? And he was like, well, I can't say anything, but my dog is called Bobby.
Yeah. Which is answering the question, isn't it?
What he did for Liverpool, he facilitates everything that Liverpool are about.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Our two strikers are essentially Mane and Salah. Kind of, if you look at the original front three, he just makes everything gel together. He is so influential. So, listen, I think he was scoring goals as well. I think he was probably a signing as well that you'd sit there and say, okay, yeah, he's done that well. It was a big price, but he surprised me as well. But the good thing about Liverpool, the majority of players have. Even Van Dijk, we signed him for 75 million from Southampton. But did I think he would probably be? Listen, Ballon d'Or shout. Maybe, probably not. Did I think he'd be easily the best defender in the world right now? Maybe not. So I think every signing Liverpool have made, even Alisson, I knew he was good, but a couple of weeks before we signed him, we shipped what? Five past him?
Seven
overall.
Yeah,
and now we've turned him into this player where you could have three players on the attack. And on a 3-on-1 with just a keeper, and I'd probably go, he'll probably save it.
Yeah, he's got a chance.
One scorer, goal creator, every player that he's surprised me in a way.
One who hasn't been mentioned yet, I'm going to throw him in the mix now, is Diogo Jota. Again, I didn't really. Wow. What a player he was. Again, he wasn't getting a game for Wolves by the end of the time. Wolves were quite happy to cash in.
Yeah.
And he wasn't playing every week. He was on the bench a lot. They had a front. They had, you know, it was a Traore. They had Podence. They had Jimenez, obviously, as well.
That was the rumor first, wasn't it? When the whole Liverpool might be signing a striker from Wolves, I was going Jimenez.
Or Traore.
Yeah. They were both of them, wasn't it? It was like, okay. And then Jota comes out of nowhere. And the great thing about the Jota signing, it was like what, a day or two after Thiago. So like the euphoria of getting one player, then it's all we're getting two. And it's like, wow, but. Sorry, mate. Go on, carry on. You are right. The impact that he's had is unreal.
Yeah, like I don't think anyone expected this from him. He's another one who I'm shocked. Again, I thought, oh, nice little option. You're talking Bobby Firmino. We took Bobby Firmino's place off him.
Yeah.
You're not playing, mate. I'm playing. I'm the second highest scorer in the league. I'm fucking playing every single week. Before he got injured last season, he scored that hat trick at Atalanta. I was like, wow, this lad is. Out of this world. He was like, I remember tweeting like, we've signed fucking Pele. Like he is, how good is he? Like he's definitely in this mix, Louis. I think no one surely saw this coming. Even Michael Edwards, I'm not sure saw this coming because he's outraged this.
No, agreed. I don't see any pretty much even Liverpool fans were like hefty price when we signed him. But again, recency bias. Got Chuck Diaz in there as well.
Yeah,
we saw this guy.
Like, five games in, he's brilliant.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
this guy, and I'm like, I watch him play, and I think he might be the best player to have ever laced up a pair of boots and walked onto a football pitch. Just everything, he excites me, and that's cool. Like, as a football fan, the main thing is results. I could play with, I don't know, Titus Bramble up front. If we were scoring goals and winning games, I wouldn't really care. But it is nice to kind of stand up on your feet when you're watching a game and go, fucking hell, well, what is going on here? Yeah. When he flicks it over Reece James' head, it's nice to have that little bit of flair. I don't really mind the no-look passes. I think sometimes it's a little bit like, all right, mate, chill out. Like but it's good fun. And it is, even he's impressed me. And by all accounts, from what Jürgen said and what the word coming out of Liverpool, he's impressed them as well. And when he gets that more information in him and he understands how Liverpool play, I think we're really in for a shock here.
I think it has to be someone. And I acknowledge all the old shouts of all the players as well. For me, I think it has to be a modern player because I don't think I think this is the best team we've had. I can remember, again, and with all due respect to people who are older than me, and you're probably thinking of a lad from the 70s and 80s who we signed. I'm not really the expert on that. I'd love your opinion. So if you're a club legend, please use get in contact with us on the Discord. If you're not, head to the socials and let us know as well. But as an age range that we've got here in our 20s and 30s, Louis early 20s, right up to me in my mid to late 30s, like it's got to be more modern for us. And I think it's got to be this team because it's the best team I've ever seen. So
I mean, Suarez,
he's the closest one. For us.
Yeah. Where you're like 20 million.
Quad Bod has said in the Discord, hasn't he? No, you're right, Louis. You're right. Quad Bod said in the Discord. So I think what we're saying is everybody we've signed the last 5 years has been levels above what we thought we were getting.
Pretty much.
They're getting better. That's exactly the point we're trying to make. And I just think this is why I love this question, because we are just getting it right so many times now, where there used to be a time where we didn't get it right.
Yep.
Especially after having a successful season. So it's just really nice, the structure we've got, and we should be very, very grateful for it anyway.
Right then, let's push you for an answer. What are you going for?
Salah.
Louis?
Salah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go for Andy Robertson.
Sound.
Yeah. Again, I've been surprised.
Is that just because
how shit I thought he was. I thought he was dodgy.
I was going to say, is that just going to be a good social clip of you saying we could go and sign Andy Robertson from after that Middlesbrough game? And then you clip that into you saying he was the player that surprised you the most?
Potentially.
I love that because...
I'll be honest, listen, with all my hands, I thought it was shit. I'm so happy I was wrong.
But that's it, mate. You'd rather be in that situation.
I thought Mo Salah was good. Yeah. I had a feeling Mo Salah was good. You could watch your Mo Salah, I thought this lad's quite good. Andy Robertson, I thought dog shit. And I was wrong, completely wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong.
From my perspective, I didn't know much about him. I'd hardly watched Hull. You know
I'd seen
I mean?
Him at Hull, and I was like, he's just a lad who runs up and down a bit and can't read the thing.
Yeah, so I didn't have an opinion on him. I just thought, right, okay, we're getting another left back. But I was like you, I thought it's going to be Moreno's backup. So for me, in my mind, going into that season, it's Moreno's the left back. So I didn't really think. The thing with Salah was, because we knew, and his reputation in the Premier League, I just thought, what are we going to get? Are we just going to get...
A decent player.
A decent player. Like you said, is he just going to play back up to Mane or whatever? Did I think he'd be this good for 5 years running? No.
No, absolutely not.
But I love it.
There you go. Then two Salahs and a Robbo. Perfect. Right, to end the show, topic number three from Louis. And I think this is a very, very interesting one. I'm looking forward to seeing how everyone in the room and off to the Discord as well, because it's a fascinating one. Look, go on, Louis, take it away.
So, I want to preface this by saying, slightly different for me, given, as you can tell by my accent, not a Scouser, and I'm slightly younger than you guys, but Man City is now... just slightly. So, what? Let me get the exact wording up that I went for. I went for City is now a bigger rivalry for Liverpool than the Man United.
Yeah, can I read my word? I turned into a question for you, Louis, because I've done you a favour. Okay. I know you're a busy man. Wrestling doesn't cover itself. So I wrote, given the current state of both Manchester clubs, is the rivalry with Man City now a bigger rivalry than the one with Man United? I think that's, if asking it as a question. Louis, I'm going to fire it straight back at you, my mate. Go on, you discuss why you brought this to the table and what are your thoughts?
So it's kind of been a thing that I've been thinking about this season where I need City to lose every game. But when I was watching that Manchester derby a couple of weeks ago, I may as well, and I don't want anyone to clip this or do it, I may as well have been a Man United fan. I was cheering for every ball. I was cheering for every referee decision. It's that big. Don't get me wrong. When Lodi put it in the back of the net last night, I cheered just as much for that. And any other game United play, I want them to lose. But not because of the rivalry. It's just a bit funny now. It's funny.
Because they're quite
funny
shit.
How bad they are. It's funny to watch them just their pants. But now with City, I want them to lose every game. I want them to struggle. It's that rivalry where that game now, and I think it is because of the quality of both teams, where for me they're the two best teams the Premier League's ever seen, where it is that competitive rivalry now where you can no longer afford for any team to drop points. Liverpool can't drop points now. City can't drop points. So it makes every game feel like must win, where you're essentially, for that 90 minutes, on Monday I was a Crystal Palace fan. For that 90 minutes, you are so engrossed in the other team because you really don't want the rival to win. So for me, I would have to say right now that, and probably because of the quality of the two teams, you could chuck Everton in there as well, probably because of the quality of Everton as well. I don't have that. But again, I'm not Scouse, so might be different. But I've got that kind of thing inside me where City, it's everything City. What can we do to beat City? What can we do to one-up City? And for me now, that is kind of the biggest rivalry for me. But I think another thing as well to consider, and again, I don't want to be that, oh, City, I've got no fans thing, but I don't know many City fans that I can banter with. So that's kind of where it comes on the other side of it, where I've got plenty of United friends that will give me crap for Liverpool and I'll give them crap for United. I haven't got that with City fans, but in terms of purely watching the games and what I want to see happen, for me, Liverpool and Man City are kind of the biggest rivals right now.
I think in terms of competition, 100%, you're absolutely right. My animosity to Manchester City isn't really animosity. They just piss me off.
Yeah,
how good they are.
It's like an itch.
And they're just relentless, and it's tiring. It's just tiring because how good they are, and you know that the bar is so high, and they're the exact same with us, by the way. I actually think their fans dislike us more than we dislike them.
Oh yeah.
Generally speaking, I think we get more of that. Man United, I despise Manchester United and everything about the club. That's the difference for me. I would put Everton above a rival for Manchester City. It's just a competitive thing. And we've been through this at different stages. Chelsea were this for a while as well. There was a while when Chelsea were in this. And Chris makes a very good point. He says what he would say is that, you know, the United rivalry is moving closer to the Everton rivalry. It's like, well, they're not that good, but the history's there. That's the thing, is that it's hard to create a sporting rivalry. It takes a long, long time and things have got to change. And Man United, for me, it's just ingrained in me. Like, maybe there's kids now who are like 10 who are going to be raised as Liverpool fans who are just going to despise Manchester City. But because I was raised until the age of, what, me early to mid-20s, where Man City were nothing, they were just an afterthought.
They were almost like...
The club be like quite wanted to win just because it might, because they're different than Man United and they're not Man United. Yeah. It was only when the Abu Dhabi money come in that it was like, and even then, I cheered the Aguero's goal like as much as I've cheered a non-Liverpool goal for a long time at the point
because it's not
Man United because I hated Man United. Yeah. So that's the difference, isn't it? It's that ingrained in me is a dislike of United and a dislike of Everton, but Manchester City now are exhausting. They tire me out and it's boring. And it's boring in the best possible way for football in terms of quality, but it's really, really boring, and it drains me. And that's a difference. There's no burning hatred of Manchester City. It's just, oh my God, can you just please go away? You are too good, and it's pissing me off.
Yeah, exactly. Given the state of where this Liverpool side is, and we've longed for having a team this good who can win title back to back, but City are right there like a fucking stone in your shoe. It's really, really annoying. For me, Manchester United is, and Liverpool is, the biggest English rivalry. End of story. That's what it is. And it will never be bigger. City will never be a bigger rival for Manchester United. First time, you always look which fixtures you can look for first. Yes, we look for City now because it's a case of like timings of the league. But again, you'd look for United and Everton. It used to be those were the first two you'd look for all the time. So for me, I'll always put Manchester United as the bigger rivalry above City. But again, like you alluded to, mate, the Chelsea one, from 2005 to 2009-10, that could have been looked that question was asked, wasn't it? Is Chelsea now a bigger rival than Manchester United? Well, yeah, all right, given the Champions League every year, the FA Cup semis and stuff like that, maybe you can have that same conversation. But it's always United. I never want Manchester United to win a game of football unless it helps affect what Liverpool are going for, which it has done over the past couple of years.
Which says a lot.
Exactly. And that's changed football massively. But for me, I need to beat Manchester United twice every year at least.
Yeah, for your emotional well-being.
Exactly.
Quite bad answer to his question. He says, no, and it never will, because City are just money and Man United have got the history. I still love to fuck over Man United, even if they were non-league. Yeah. And that's the difference. In that you've grew up different to us. You've grew up in an era where Manchester City have had the money and they've won plenty of league titles, and they've been, they were the team that have stopped Liverpool winning more, and we're in it now. But you never got brought up with like on the Ferguson United, that you were just like, I despised everything about them.
I'm not that young. I got the end of the Ferguson.
Yeah, you did.
I get what you mean. Like I didn't grow up with that, with the Roy Keane era or the kind of But it kind of like what you guys are saying, I think it depends what you want out of a season. Realistically, if Liverpool win the league but have lost twice to United, not really going to care.
Yeah.
It'd be annoying.
Yeah.
Not going to care. But if Liverpool don't win the league but beat United twice, it'd be like, oh, cool. But again, no, you don't get a trophy for that. No one's going to remember it. So I think that's where the City thing comes in, because realistically, you can't lose to City twice and then win the league. It could happen, very, very unlikely. So I think why I think the City rivalry, and perhaps it's different in kind of a professional rivalry and your kind of old-fashioned rivalry. The reason why the City one's so big for me is, realistically, you need to win both those games, not only for the bragging rights, but to win the Premier League.
Yeah, you can't lose. Lose one of those games is such a swing. Yeah. And that's the difference. That's where the bar is. And that's, I'm going back to it.
Exactly. I come out of those games thinking, it's not, we've just lost to a rival. It's, have we just lost the title? So when I was at the Liverpool City game this year, and it was like, so when it was the 2-2 and we had that chance at the end with Fabinho, it was like, has that title just now got a little bit harder for us to grasp? And it's just that need to win. I think it's more of, I guess, what you'd call a professional rivalry in sports. Kind of like what they were saying with Messi and Ronaldo. Like, they don't hate each other, but it's that professional rivalry where they both spur each other on to be as great as they are. And I stand by this. I don't think we'd be as good as we are without City, and I don't think 100%. City would be as good as they are without us. We both needed each other to spur each other on. But yeah, for me, those games are the games in the season where I think if you gave me a genie in a bottle and said, right, you can pick two games of the season, you've got to win. You've got to win.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I am choosing City home and City away any day of the week, and I'll keep a genie in the bottle just in case we need like an extra something. But no, for me, it's those two that you really, really need to win. So that's I kind of think where it does come from.
And I'm gonna read Matty's point from the Discord, and he's like, not right now answering the question, but what we have in City and Manchester, a bit of what we have Chelsea in the noughties, it's very competitive, but the rival with United runs deeper with the history associated to it. That's unrivaled. And that's my point, Jay. We don't know, because look what just happened to Roman Abramovich and think the world changes and stuff. But as it stands, Man City aren't going anywhere yet. They seem to be getting away. They've had court cases and they've won everything. So Man City are where they are. And it feels like they could be going through it. They could be here for a long time. Manchester United, as it stands, are miles away from that. And it, I do wonder again if the I've got no animosity to Manchester City. Relatively speaking, compared to like deep hatred and history and stuff. But there's a generation coming through now who are going to despise Manchester City.
Yeah.
And there's going to be Manchester City fans who are going to despise Liverpool. And it's got the makings that it could brew into something different, because every rivalry starts somewhere. The Everton one's always there because it's the locality thing. City and United, it's not really locality. They're in the same fucking city. They're down the road, we know that. It feels like at some point it could happen where, you know, all those old farts get really, really old and the next generation have just been, oh my God, Man City, I hate them with the money and the plastic fans and they don't sell the ground out. And all. You could see that happening, couldn't you?
Of course you can, mate. I mean, you look at the lads who I go to the match with are 20-odd, 30-odd years older than me. And they will always say Everton because of when, you know, they would peak going the match in terms of how when they were younger. It was Liverpool, Everton, first and second. So it is definitely a generation thing. But Liverpool versus Manchester City are bigger games, right? For what's on, like what Louis alluded to. However, overall, because of come back when you've won 18 banners, yeah? They came back and won 18. European Cups, the chasing of those, chasing that 6 versus 3 and when it was 5 versus 3 and it was 4, it's all there. It's all relative with Manchester United and it will always be that. Because at the end, it was on the debate show, wasn't it, last week about Ross's question, would you rather win the league or win the Champions League? You lose the one to City. For me right now, I want that extra league title because I want 20 to shut them lot up. I'm not saying that just because I want Liverpool to have one over in Man United. It's about Liverpool. That's what's the most important thing. But that's a lovely added bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing. You know what I mean? 100%. And Liam Bento makes it, says, yeah, it's 30 years later and I still hate Man United's class of 1992. And attend. I watch Gary Neville and Roy Keane on the TV right now and they're very, very entertaining. But there's something deep inside me that burns away a dislike of them. I'm not there with Man City yet. Man City players, even for the most part, I was saying this before, like they're quite likeable. Even like Aguero and company, they're legends of Manchester City now. They've left that club. I never hated them.
I don't hate them as much.
They have moments, obviously, the company goal against Leicester, I'll never forget. And like Aguero scoring every time he played us at the Etihad. We'll never forget it. But there's no hatred. But I wonder now, there's kids now who are in 15, 20 years' time going to despise Bernardo Silva. I don't like the fella myself. You can see it brewing, can't you? You can see it first in a way. Like, he's one who you think, he's a rat, him. And you can see that the kids, they're going to get there, aren't they?
It's true.
I think Louis, if he comes back when he's 40 and asks the 20-year-old version of Louis, who's on the other end of a Zoom call, it might be very, very easy. They might all be going, yes, Man City.
I guess, the one thing to kind of contrast what I was saying, one thing I've always said, like, I could never sign a player from United. I could never do it.
No.
I'd never sign a manager from United. I could never do it. But if you offer me Pep Guardiola, would I say yes? Once Klopp leaves, probably.
Imagine that.
If you offered me Kevin De Bruyne, probably.
Yeah.
But if you offered me Jadon Sancho, because he's been there not long.
Bruno Fernandes, really well. You don't want him, do you?
Bruno Fernandes. No, I don't want him. If you offer me Paul Pogba, no. He's United. Even if you offered me Gary Neville on the coaching staff, I'd say no. Oh, he's God, United.
Definitely not. They wouldn't say no to that.
I think that's kind of the aspect where it is more of that professional rivalry, where part of the reason why I hate City so much is because I also respect them so much, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I hate them because they're the biggest pain in the arse, and we realistically have won 4 league titles if City weren't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing
with the respect thing, Louis, in terms of respect, because I respect for them the way those 11 players on that pitch in the squad and the way they play footy. I don't respect them for
how they've got there,
you know what I mean, in terms of like 2008, they were pre that, they were, you know, losing 6-1 to Middlesbrough, whatever it was, and now all of a sudden they're here, and you know, the fans, a lot of the fans think, you know, the absolute world beats and stuff like that. The people that still went to Main Road, they're still ingrained in it. Well, you know, we just appreciate what we've got, the same way us oldies here say, I really appreciate this Liverpool team because I know how crap we have been. But for me, I don't respect how they've got there. I just respect the football that they play. Because I just think it's quite entitled.
No, it's actually for me the other way around with Man United. I actually quite respect Manchester United, the institution.
Built a team after team. They'd win a title, they'd have to rebuild it, and then but they'd do it again. And that's respect to the club, respect to Fergie for what he did. Yeah. That's awesome. But exactly. Yeah.
That's why to wrap it up, Louis. I'm gonna disagree with you. I'm gonna say Man United for me. Are you sticking with your City? Are you sticking with your City? You City's your biggest rival now?
I think it depends what you mean by rivalry, right?
It's your question.
You asked it.
It's open to interpretation, but for me, I'd say City, the game that I want to win the most each year is City, so I've got to say
spot
City.
On, mate, yeah.
I'd agree with that.
He's right, though. That's the game you want to win, but United's the bigger rivalry.
Yeah, United for me, yeah, I agree. Louis, absolute pleasure to have you. Jay, absolute pleasure to have you as well. Thank all you guys for getting involved in the Discord chat as well. If you're listening to this post live or you're watching this post live, please use the comment section on the website or use the socials, the Redmen TV Twitter. We're on Facebook as well. Get your message into us. Let us know your answers to all three questions. We'll be back next week with another three topics, another three people and another three debates. Until then, I'll catch you all soon. Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.